Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I'm welcoming Jen Baxter. A little bit from her official bio, Jen Baxter is an accomplished author, speaker, and blogger based in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's been published in numerous print and online publications and appears at tiny house festivals, healthy living festivals, and private engagements across the country, speaking on the subjects of downsizing and minimalism, clean eating, healthy living, and spiritual health. She's appeared on HGTV's Tiny House Big Living, is a regular guest on the NBC morning show Charlotte Today, and has also appeared as a guest on several popular podcasts, including the Tiny House Podcast and The Purpose Show and that Fitfluential Radio Show. Here's the deal. I really enjoyed talking with Jen, and I am the furthest, I admitted this on the show, I'm the furthest thing from a tiny house fan or a minimalist. I guess maybe I'm not a minimalist. I'm a minimalist in the way I decorate my house now, and that has definitely changed my life. I used to be tchotchke queen until I was having difficulty selling one of my houses. But this was really an interesting show, seeing the tie between, I'm trying to look at my notes, seeing the tie between, you know, downsizing and simplifying your life and how that affects you from a stress and just life balance and happiness. There's joy to be found in simplicity. And again, I do want to emphasize, I am not at all somebody who would consider themselves a minimalist, but I got so much out of this interview and I'm so impressed with her. She's just a wonderful gal. I get to spend some time with her in Chicago at one of our client events for Now Foods. And I'm so looking forward to spending time with her because after I chatted with her, I just fell in love with her. Love, she has so many truth bombs in this interview. You're going to love it. And I know you're going to want to tune into her book, her website. You'll probably want to get some hair tips from her as well. She has fabulous hair, just saying. Anyway, please sit back and enjoy this interview with Jen Baxter. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we have Jen Baxter. And this show is going to be so cool. I talked about her and her book and her website in the intro, obviously, but the more that she and I were chatting before the show, and I actually kind of had to snap myself out of it because I realized I'm talking about what we're going to talk about on the show and this whole concept of decluttering and how it can impact the stress in your life. I think this is going to resonate with so many of you because I think without even me realizing I was doing it, it has made a huge impact on my life. And I certainly have talked about this in the recent past. But Jen, I'm very, very pleased to have you on the show. Welcome. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go. Thank you for having me.
And I'm also excited that I get to see you in person in Chicago soon. So we'll have to make sure that we selfie and all of that on Instagram while we're together. Because I need to have a picture taken with you because you just look cool. I mean, and everybody, you'll see well, what I mean you. when you look her up. She just has like fabulous hair, fabulous fashion, fabulous just everything about her. So anyway, I'm digressing as usual. But Jen, whenever I do have someone on the show for the first time, I always like to get it rolling with asking them, you know, tell our audience, when was it for you in your life that you became first interested in leading a healthier lifestyle or becoming active or getting interested in fitness? When was that for you and why?
For me, it was actually only about 5 years ago. This is kind of the whole backstory to my blog and to my book and pretty much everything I do right now. Because in 2013, I was diagnosed with advanced adrenal fatigue. And really, for me, it was because I had been through this series of traumatic events in my life, just back to back to back to back. And I really didn't get a chance to even come up for air. So my body just really kind of shut down on me. And I ended up with advanced adrenal fatigue. And I had gone to a lot of different quote unquote traditional doctors and just ran into a lot of dead ends, had a bunch of people tell me there was nothing wrong with me, a bunch of people try to offer me anti-anxiety medication, basically implying that I was imagining everything. And so really it was at that point that I started to go see a naturopathic doctor and really kind of just opened up my eyes to how I should be taking care of my body. Because really before then, I would say I really did pretty much nothing to take care of me. I didn't really exercise. I ate, you know, just kind of the typical mainstream American diet, just lots of sugar, lots of processed foods, just, you know, whatever was the quickest and easiest. I hardly ever had any kind of like fresh vegetables or fresh fruits or anything like that. So I really was kind of forced into it. But then once I started, you know, even just paying attention to what I was eating and paying attention to the products I was using and started taking supplements and doing all those types of things, then it just, you know, snowballed. Then I couldn't get enough of it. And unfortunately, I couldn't really exercise very much. And I still kind of have to be a little bit careful about that now, just because you never really kind of are fully healed completely from adrenal fatigue. You always just kind of have to, you know, keep an eye on that kind of thing. So I didn't really do a lot of exercising at that time. But now I'm just kind of easing myself back into doing gentle things, you know, just doing walking. I want to start doing Pilates soon here. But that really is kind of the basis for this whole sort of mission that I'm on now.
I also was just talking on my Instagram story the other day about wanting to try Pilates. I have some Pilates DVDs at home, but I've never really done it. And I would love to do it on the actual machines. And I've started to see that more and more gyms, I do think a lot of people get intimidated to go to just a Pilates studio, and it can be exorbitantly expensive. I could be wrong. Maybe things are changing. But incidentally, my brother of all people, which this blew me, I thought he was joking, but he has really been fighting, trying to get in shape for years and years and just up and down with his weight. And I saw him this Christmas and he looked the best I'd seen him in forever. And his daughters were like, oh, he's doing Pilates. And I was laughing because I'm just thinking, it's just not macho. It's not a guy thing. And then I realized they were serious. And so I've actually heard a lot of people talking about how Pilates is not only, you know, good for you, but it's challenging, much more challenging. And so of course my interest was piqued. So it's interesting that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. I also suffer from adrenal fatigue, and it certainly is a topic that we are going to address a lot on the show, and not in isolation, because for everybody listening, you know, you've heard me say this, particularly with the shows that we've recorded in 2018, my biggest passion is really getting everybody to understand the big picture and to understand, I'm sure Jen is going to talk about this shortly as we talk about stress and adrenal fatigue in your mission. How everything is connected, you know, if you have what you're doing and how stressed you are and your work environment, your relationships, your money, all the things in your life are affecting the levels of stress you have. The levels of stress you have are affecting cortisol and your adrenals. And it can sound very confusing to try to comprehend this. I'm trying to start explaining this to my man friend and he's like, what's cortisol? And I thought, God, how do you explain? Not that I can articulate it to say that I'm the expert, but I at least have an understanding because I've done enough research. So it's good to hear you say that you are taking it easy and respecting the condition that you have. And the other thing I liked, or at least what I was picking up from what you said, and I'd like to see if you agree, you mentioned, you know, you have advanced adrenal fatigue and you're figuring out what works for you. I think what a lot of people can do when they realize they have hormonal imbalance or adrenal fatigue or Hashimoto's, it's very easy to get caught up in the research and to think that you have to, that all the rules apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. And our mission here as well is to get people to really understand you've got to find your fitness. And so what works for adrenal fatigue for one person might not work for the other person. You know, you might be able to get back into a little bit more working out where other people might have to stick with just walking. Did it take you a while? Like, or did you, when you started researching or you had your naturopath, telling you what to do for adrenal fatigue, did you feel like, okay, you've got to do everything they said? Or did you have the attitude early on of, I'm going to test this out and see what works for me, but I'm also going to listen to my instinct?
I think at the very beginning, I did kind of go out with the mindset of like, oh, I have to do what all these books tell me and what all these websites tell me. But I think I figured it out pretty quickly that I was just going to have to find my own way through it. Because I remember I had purchased this breathing exercises CD that was specifically for people with adrenal fatigue. And I was like all excited to do this. And I laid down on my bed and turned it on. And I did the first breathing exercise and caused myself to have an adrenal crash just really? From doing the breathing exercise, because it was just so intense. And my body was extremely sensitive at that point. That was, mm-hmm. you know, really when I was in the thick of it. So I realized even in that moment that I was like, okay, so I'm not going to be able to do everything that, you know, other people are doing. I'm sure those breathing exercises helped a lot of people. But for me, it was just, I was too sensitive, at least at that time, to do them. So really, that was kind of when I just switched. And I do dog walking and pet sitting on the side. So I was like, well, that's still, you know, a perfect way for me to be able to get outside and to get some exercise just from walking the dogs, but I'm not overdoing it and I'm not causing myself to have a crash.
That is a totally, I'm absolutely serious. That is a cool way to earn income, because I don't have pets right now. And my man and I were talking about this, and we were like, you know, we're planning to do a lot of traveling in this next phase of our lives. And we both love animals, but like the reason that I haven't allowed myself to have pets for a while is because of when I travel for a long time. And I don't want to burden people regularly with having to take care of my pets. I don't want to have them, you know, always, you know, up and wondering where their parents are, whatever. But I look around where I live and there's all these great dogs, people that are walking dogs. And I will literally walk up to them and go, I'm here if you want me to walk your dog, or, you know, like I can be the rent a neighbor if you want.
Right.
I think that is so cool. And it would give me stress relief to just walk, you know, play with the cute mm-hmm. dogs. I'll mm-hmm. take them to the park, whatever. Maybe that's going to be a side hustle. I'll have to figure it out.
But there you go.
Very, very cool. But, and the reason for everybody listening that I was asking Jen about, you know, did she get to the point with her adrenal fatigue journey? I hate calling it a journey because that makes it sound like it's fun.
Right.
The reason that I asked that is one of the things that I had to come to terms with as I did all of this research about my Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism, I made all these tables and, you know, Excel spreadsheets about foods that I was supposed to avoid for adrenal fatigue, foods I was supposed to avoid for this, supplements I was supposed to take for this. And then I would freak out if, you know, one thing said, take this because you have Hashimoto's. And then it said, don't take this if you have adrenal fatigue. And I'd freak out. I remember mm-hmm. one of the things, and I don't know if this was for insulin resistance or adrenal fatigue, but they said, whatever you do, don't have peanut butter. You've got to have only almond butter. And I avoided peanut butter like the plague for years. Guess what? I can have peanut butter and it doesn't affect my hypothyroidism. So just you really, really dive into whatever it is that you're doing. I encourage people, trust your gut, give it some time and test things out, because certain things you might have to take out that work for other people, certain things you can't do, like Jen experienced with the breathing exercises that are recommended. But if they don't work for you, don't force it. So little life lessons, life tips from Kelly Alexa. I hope you appreciated that. Okay, so let's dive in. You know, the title of your book is Live A, and it's an acronym. We talked mm-hmm. about this in the show. Live a Fast Life, FAST Life, How Cleaning Up and Stripping Down Gave Me My Life Back. So I'm going to let you, Jen, do the intro here, because we're going to talk about this and I know it's going to resonate with so many people that weren't expecting it, but tell us what that means. Tell us what the title of your book means and then we'll go from there.
So a fast life, fast stands for fabulous, abundant, simple, and tiny. Mm. And really kind of my goal with that whole topic and that acronym was to let people know, because I think a lot of times people think when you simplify your life, and especially if you do go all the way down to tiny, which is what I did, I moved into a tiny house on wheels. If you even simplify your life at all, people tend to think that it's going to mean deprivation. It's going to mean, you know, all you do is eat granola and wear cargo shorts every day. And, you know, you live with like a stool and a bucket in your house. And that's what people picture. And I just want them to know, like, it's the total opposite of that, that actually the more you simplify your life, the more fabulous it becomes and the more abundant it becomes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, if you look on my website, you'll see in all of the pictures that I have. I don't know what's going on down there. But if
we
you
were
look
just, at- isn't it funny? We were talking about the dogs, how cute they are. And it's almost like they heard and they're thinking, yeah, we can be on the show.
They're like, hey, we can be famous. But if you look at the pictures on my website, you'll see that like I'm a girly girl. And so even when I had my tiny house, you know, I had this tiny little 2-foot closet, but it still had all of my, you know, cutesy girly clothes in it. And, you know, things that I kept in my house were things that were important to me. So simplifying doesn't mean that you have to follow some specific formula. It just means that you're getting rid of all the excess and getting down to what is really important and really means something to you. So the whole subtitle of my book, How Stripping Down and Cleaning Up Gave Me My Life Back, relates back to what I was talking about with the adrenal fatigue. So really in 2013, that was kind of the point where it all kind of hit the fan, I would say, because really it had been leading up to that for about 4 years. But I had just been through this string of traumatic events. I had been in an abusive relationship. My father was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. Then my mother was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. Mm-hmm. And really at the same time, I call it the perfect storm, because at the same time all of these things were happening, I also was working an extremely stressful job with very toxic coworkers. I was not really keeping a very good sleep schedule. I was eating a terrible diet. So really it was the perfect storm. And it just, between all of these different things, my body just kind of shut down on me. And that's how I ended up with adrenal fatigue. And I really just felt like I was just emotionally depleted, physically depleted, and spiritually depleted. I felt like I had just kind of hit the bottom. But instead of spiraling downward from that point and, you know, just going into depression and anxiety and, you know, kind of just going downward, I feel like at that point is really when my eyes were opened up. And I like to say it was like when the blinders came off. And, you know, I'm a woman of very strong faith, so I give all the credit to God for this. I'm not smart enough to think of this myself, but I really feel like he just kind of started leading me through all of these changes and just letting me see where I had all of this extra in my life. Mm. And, you know, it was in every area. It was extra physical clutter. It was extra toxic things that I was putting in my body, that I was putting on my body. And then just a lot of extra emotional baggage and stress that I had just been carrying around for years. And it was kind of like it all tied together, which I think you mentioned earlier that, you know, I didn't really realize before that moment how all of these different things just played into each other. And, you know, once I started to clear out the physical clutter, I was being forced to address the emotional clutter, because I would be holding an object in my hand and all these emotions would come up that were attached to that object. So I was having to address that. And then the more free I was feeling and the more light I was feeling as I was doing this emotional work and getting rid of this clutter, then the more I wanted to take care of my body. So then I started changing what I was eating and paying attention to what was in my products. So it was really kind of just this massive stripping down of my life and just kind of getting rid of all of that excess so I could get back to what I really feel like life was supposed to be all along, but I just had sort of been blind to that. And then, of course, in relation to that, that's when my health actually finally started getting better.
Oh, my God. There's so many truth bombs there and truth bombs that I can relate to. And I think you perfectly illustrated from your own life experience what I certainly have had in my experience and what I want to share with everyone on the show, which is, I think, and I'd like to ask you this. You know, you mentioned the perfect storm and you talk about, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, the death of both of your parents, an abusive relationship, your toxic work environment. And I love how you described it, that you were just depleted emotionally, spiritually, physically. I've been there. I've referenced many times on the show that probably beginning in 2016, our business was going through a transition. The market was changing. It was very stressful. And then the very last month of 2016, all of 2017 into probably the first month of this year was the most stressful, chaotic, transition, insane, you know, perfect storm of, are you kidding me? Like the amount of times I wouldn't say that to God when I would pray, but I would go, God, seriously, is like, when is something going to turn around? How much more can I take the high road? How much more can I endure? I said that more times than I could possibly imagine, but you know what? I endured. I'm grateful for it all, but I can relate to the perfect storm. What I want to ask you is, I think there are a whole lot more people out there that are probably experiencing a perfect storm in their life, but they anesthetize themselves. I can never say that word correctly. They're drowning themselves in food or avoidance or, you know, more work or alcohol or something, and they probably just aren't giving it enough credence. And I love how you said you feel like God gave you this situation because it forced you. The adrenal fatigue, you almost were immobile, and you, instead of taking the bad path, you know, when you're at rock bottom, you can do one of two things. You can either take a better road and do the hard work to learn the lessons, change and get out of it, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, or you can take the bad road, which is, I'm going to feel sorry for myself, I'm going to get angry at the world, so many other responses. As I was hearing you, I'm like, there's so many people out there in the midst of a perfect storm, and they're not facing it, and they're not choosing to learn the lessons from it. Do you think that there's a lot of people out there thinking, well, this is life and it just sucks?
Right. Well, and I think it kind of goes against what our natural reaction is, that our natural reaction is to turn away from it or try to make it stop or try to find relief. But what I found was actually leaning into that was what actually was the right thing to do, which again, that just seems kind of opposite of what we would think to do. But by the fact that I leaned into the storm and was like, okay, I just need to face this stuff. Because really, I mean, the emotional stuff that came up, like while I was going through my decluttering process, it surprised me. I mean, I knew that there was going to be some emotional baggage there from my parents and from the relationship. But once I started going through just the physical clutter and really kind of going inside and really seeing what was in there emotionally as well, it surprised me because it was things that went like all the way back to childhood. And really it kind of just got to the point where once I was already digging in there, then I was just like, oh, well, here's something else. So let me address this too, because I didn't want to leave anything undone, because I felt like, okay, well, I'm already facing all this, so I may as well go all the way. And really, I think even if you can just start the process, and you know, any part of this process with the emotional or with the physical, just starting it, you'll feel this freeing feeling come over you, and you'll feel these, you know, chains being broken, and you'll feel yourself getting lighter, and that in and of itself becomes addictive in a good way. And so then you want to just keep going because you realize like that you're feeling lighter and you're feeling freer. And that certainly, you know, again, I have to give the credit to God, because I don't think I would have done that on my own, but I just felt compelled to just lean into it. Fine. It was like I had reached this point in my life where the pain and the discomfort I was feeling from how I was currently living was worse than the pain that I thought, okay, I might have to go through to get out of this. But it was like, this is going to be worth it to go through. Because I do tell people when I do speaking engagements, I tell this all the time, you know, in my webinars, I say, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, oh, this is going to be like the most fun thing you ever did. But once you actually address that stuff, and you know, maybe you don't have as deep of hurts or as severe traumas that I had, maybe you have worse than what I had. But when you at least just finally start addressing those things, when you address them, that helps you to actually process through them and let them go. And that's when you can finally get on the other side of them. Because if you just keep that all stuffed inside of you, it's just going to keep manifesting as physical symptoms. It's going to keep you very stressed out all the time, because you're going to have this tiny little reserve. And then anything that happens in your life is just going to set you off, because you have this, you know, very small little reserve of patience and energy, because you have all this other stuff that you haven't dealt with.
Because I can relate to it. And I wrote down self-awareness, and I think I'm not saying that I have the perfect definition, but to me, I'd always heard that phrase and I'm like, what in the heck is that all about? Or if somebody would say, you've got to love yourself. And I was thinking, I don't really know what you mean. You know, that sounds shallow and vain. And now I get it. I realize, and it took me going to this fantastic therapist, and I can't recommend that enough for anybody, because when you have somebody who's entirely objective and will look at things from a different perspective, and sometimes they'll give you the hard truth. For me, it was the first time that I went to a therapist that I actually heard someone say, you know, it's not your fault, Kelly. I mean, that's, I was used to, because of my people pleaser nature, allowing a lot of people to just run ragged, just all over me and manage me and manipulate me. And I had to understand how I had let that happen, how I had created that environment because of the way I acted, always wanting approval, always asking for acceptance, always asking for permission, even when, you know, I was the boss or I had the ability to leave a relationship. I just stayed and I had to feel like I've got to make everybody happy. I've got to make everybody approve of me. And when you figure that stuff out, your whole life can change. And for everybody that's listening, you know, self-awareness is to me, now the way that I define it is doing that hard work and being able to face your problems, face your demons, whatever you call it, and figuring out what makes you tick. And sometimes it's weird. I mean, you guys have heard me, for everybody listening, you've heard me talk on the show about my emotional eating or stress eating. I don't know why I do it. You know, I did it, you know, last week, and I remember writing it in my food journal going, for some reason, I was stressed out about work and I was trying to do a fast that day. And I willingly walked into the kitchen and said, this is what I'm going to eat and I'm going to eat it. And I just remember going, why did I do that? Because it was literally like a self-sabotage thing. Mm-hmm. But if you can just be willing to look at yourself as your own therapist and do the work, I don't understand why so many people resist that. And the people in my experience, I was just talking about some family members that refuse to do this. They'll never say they're sorry to anybody. They'll never admit that they were wrong. And they're angry, they're bitter, they're unhappy, and their lives are just compounding misery. And that's kind of what you said. You said, if you don't process things in your life and face them, I always say it's kind of like holding a beach ball, trying to hold a beach ball underwater in a pool. It's just going to keep bouncing back up. Mm-hmm. But if you keep holding that down, you're going to manifest more problems. It's like a fungus that's going to grow. Mm-hmm. But if you face it, you can heal it and move past it. But too many people just don't want to face it. Do you think that a lot of folks, because see, you're practicing this, right? I practice this. I work on myself all the time. And I think I'm one of the most transparent people on the planet. I'm willing to share all my lessons, all my issues, all my embarrassing flaws that I've gotten past. And I figure I'm going to be a work in progress the rest of my life. When you have folks that come to you that have just read your book, or maybe folks that are hiring you to help them through this kind of stuff, do they express that they are incredibly uncomfortable facing things about themselves or facing their issues? Or have they articulated why they're scared of that?
They definitely say that for sure. And it's funny because people actually have come to me after reading my book and expressed how either like surprised or how impressed they are that I shared as much as I did. And I guess I'm like you, because I just kind of was like, really? I wouldn't know any other way to do it. Like, that's just, I feel like that's kind of what we're all here for, is that I share my journey and maybe that can help you and maybe part of your journey can help me. And I think people, I don't know, I think we're all just so concerned with putting up this appearance of perfection and of everything being together. And, you know, social media just certainly, you know, pushes forth that image on Facebook and on Instagram that everything's perfect. And so people don't really want to, I guess, address that it's not perfect and that there's other things going on. And like I said, I guess I am kind of the same way, where I don't feel the need to do that. And maybe that's just because I have been through so much. But I feel like if I can show people the opposite, almost, if I can say, hey, look at all of this crap that I've been through and all these things I used to think about myself and all these bad habits I used to have, and I've dealt with death and I've dealt with domestic abuse and all these different things, but now look where I am now. I feel like that's a more impactful message than if you just thought, oh, well, she's just always had it all together. And I certainly don't have it all together right now, but just saying like, look where I was and look where I am now. So I think, I don't know, almost if more people were willing to dive into their own stuff, that maybe not only would it help them to live more abundantly, but then, you know, you have no idea the effect you could have on other people in your life as well.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. Like fitness, and I think you mentioned this earlier in probably a different context, but so many things will bleed over into other areas of your life. Like you said, I started eating better and then I started feeling better. And then because I did this, I was paying attention here. And certainly that has happened for me. Starting to see a therapist every week and talking to somebody that wasn't a parent or a friend or a colleague, it was game changing. And it was game changing for me to see something from an objective perspective, because frankly, you know, I had a lot of people that guilted me into, Kelly, just be quiet about your problems. And, you know, now I realize that. And it's not about, for everybody listening, you know, it's not about whether I'm talking about seeing a therapist or when you figure out your own stuff. It's not about, wow, I'm so great and all these other people have been bad. Sometimes you figure out the way people have treated you, and it's because of the way you've carried yourself. And when you become more self-aware, when you become someone who's conquered a lot of these issues, you become more resilient. I am so much more of a strong woman than I was a year and a half ago. I am so much more resilient. I am so much more confident. I still have a ways to go, and I always will. But because of the storm, and because I got through it, and because I feel like it really was a gift from God. It was hell. It was absolute hell. I can't even just. I mean, sometimes I think back. I've forgotten some of them, and I'll tell the story to somebody. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But even though I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I did trust God. I kept wondering if he'd put me on hold for a while. Like, you know, I'm still here. Right. But now when I look back, I'm like, all of that happened for me. It didn't happen to me. It happened for me, and it sucked, but it taught me so much, and I'm so much better for it. And I really, really, to me, I think one of the key things is I looked at every situation and I was like, what was my part in this? And some of the things I was embarrassed. It was awful to go, my God, I was so not involved in my business. Oh my God, I made bad choices. But when you do it and you face it, that's how you fix it. But if you don't, things will just continue to get worse. So I love everything you're sharing. This whole concept of facing your issues and decluttering and taking the weight off. And I love how you said it's freeing. Mm-hmm. People have no idea how much better you will feel when you stop freaking out, stressing out, running from your problems. And when you're not carrying, I love how you said that too, you're carrying this load, you're carrying this baggage. So many of us have baggage, financial baggage, relationship baggage, physical, you know, clutter in our homes. Clutter doesn't just have to be in our homes. And right. I love that you put it that way. So this is a topic we've got to keep addressing. And I know we're running out of our timeline today, but let me ask you this, Jen, for those folks that haven't read the book yet, and we're going to link to that because I can't wait to read the book now, because this is in complete alignment, with the exception of, I got to tell you, I could never live in a tiny house. My That's shoes okay. alone could fill up seven tiny houses. And several friends have told me, you should think about doing that. And I just said, I love you, you're my friends. I will never do that. But I have mad respect for people that do. But everything else you said completely resonates with me, and I have decluttered so much. Let me ask you this, for people that are listening that haven't read the book, that this is all new to them, what are some of the things, and not just
physical things. So we know that you can declutter in your home, and that can be a cathartic experience. It can, you know, make your house look better. It can simplify. You'll feel cleaner when you can see things in your closet, in your home, in your cabinets. But what are some of the tips that you would give in closing to people that are listening, that here are things that help everyone? If they're your clients, if they're people that have read your book, that everybody comes back to you, and that you would say, if you're just getting started, here's like three, and it can be two, it can be three, it can be five, whatever it is. What tips would you give to start decluttering that would make a huge difference? They're simple, but they're impactful.
There's so many different things that, of course, I could talk about, because to me, again, I'm looking at kind of the whole umbrella that you can declutter your physical stuff, you can declutter your body, you can declutter your spirit. So it really kind of depends on, I guess, like what area you feel the most pressure in, and, you know, the area that you really want to focus on. But I just had someone at a speaking engagement come up to me the other day, and she said, oh, I loved your book, and I've started doing this one thing that you talked about in there. And it was actually a technique that someone else taught me, but that basically, I call it active visualization or active meditation. I have no idea if that's a real term, but I just made it up.
Hey, and let's say it is.
Let's say it is. And because a lot of times when people hear meditation, they get very intimidated. And I'm not even talking about the same kind of meditation where you're supposed to like clear your mind. But I actually would just do these different visualizations in my head, and I would picture, say, for instance, the beach, because the beach is very relaxing to me. And I would picture myself just literally walking down the sand and picking up seashells. And each shell that I would hold, I would put all of my feelings and all of my thoughts about whatever was bothering me that week into the shell. So if I had just had an argument with the coworker, I would, in my head, be visualizing that I'm, you know, putting all that anger and all that bitterness and, oh, that sentence that she said to me, you know, I'm putting it all into this shell. And then I would just see myself throwing it into the ocean, and that would help me to actually let go of it. And it sounds like kind of hokey, I guess, when you first hear it, but when you actually do this like on a regular basis and you actually take yourself through that, you really can start to let go of these things. Because if you think about it, your brain can work against you in the same way. If you sit there and you ruminate on something negative and something bad that might happen, you have all the actual physical reactions of it. Your heart starts racing and your breath speeds up, and because your brain doesn't know the difference, it thinks, oh, is this what's happening? And so your body starts reacting. So it's just a matter of taking that energy and that power that you have, but putting it towards something positive and actually using, you know, that reaction that your body has in a positive way, and calming your body down and relaxing your body and letting go of these things. So that's kind of something for the spirit. For the body, I mean, there's just so many things you could do, but, you know, even just trying to eat clean a couple days a week, if that's all you can do at first. You know, I, of course, promote, you know, eating gluten-free, because gluten's really just not great for anybody, even if you're not celiac. And, you know, eating more fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that. But if that's, I know it can be intimidating if you're coming from, you know, the typical American diet, like I talked about earlier. So even if you can only do, you know, clean eating once or twice a week, just start doing that. Because again, what's going to happen is you're going to realize the difference in how you feel. And you're really going to kind of get addicted to that feeling instead and realize like, hey, this actually makes a difference. Because when I was in the thick, pretty much, of adrenal fatigue, I used to not be able to sleep through the night. I had cystic acne on my face. I would have these terrible headaches and dizziness and just all of these symptoms. I was very shaky. My hands would shake all the time. And I just thought that these were things that just were me. Like, I just thought that was just me. And I changed my diet, and I kid you not, like, immediately, I started sleeping through the night. My face cleared up. My GI issues went away, and I was just blown away by how much could change just simply by changing what I was putting in my body. You know, even just making a couple of those little changes at first. And then for the clutter, the physical clutter, of course, I could talk about that all day because that's like my favorite topic in the world. But for some reason, I always feel like it's easiest for people to start in their closet. So if you're, you know, intimidated by standing back and looking at how much stuff you have in your house, I always say, well, just start in your closet first, because I feel like that kind of gets the wheels turning, gets that excitement going, gets that motivation going, because everybody can, you know, pull a few things out of their closet that they don't need anymore. And, you know, I always say, you know, don't necessarily just drop them off at Goodwill. If they're in good condition, take them to consignment stores, see if you can make some money back. Donate them to a domestic abuse shelter where, you know, there's women that would love to have your extra stuff, and really kind of just sort of get those wheels turning and kind of get that momentum started, because then I really feel like once you start, then you're just not going to want to stop. Then you're going to want to just keep cleaning up every part of your life.
It is so true.
Because
really
they all do tie in together. It's funny because at first you wouldn't think that they do, but really once I was forced to, with the adrenal fatigue, pay attention to all of this, I just realized, you know, I might be doing the supplements and the healthy eating. I might be doing that stuff for the physical part of adrenal fatigue, but at the same time, you have to take care of the emotional part, because that's sort of how you get there in the first place. So it really does all tie together.
It's so true. And it really does become something that affects so many other parts of your life. And it really can be eye-opening. You know, I think about, for me, going in my closet, or I actually put this up on Instagram, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I had to replace my phone and I got my new iPhone 10 or X, whatever we call it. And I started to put the box in my office files. I'm like, why am I keeping this box?
Right.
And I put up on Instagram, like, how many of you keep boxes for like your yep. MacBook, you know, and we keep it because we think, well, I might need the box someday.
Yep.
I might need that. And I thought, when was the last time I've ever used any of these boxes for my phones that I've kept? And so even though I'm joking about it, there's things like that where you go, okay, why am I holding on to this? And you'll start to have those conversations with yourself. Like, I went through my closet and I joke, and I'm never going to stop buying a lot of shoes, but I had an insane amount of shoes and an insane amount of shoes that I had literally never worn, because I love high heels. And I bought a lot that were, you know, that there's high heels that you can wear and walk comfortably in, and then there's high heels where you almost have to have two people holding you on both sides because they've made, you know, they haven't made a firm foundation. I had a lot of those shoes and I never worn them. And I thought, why am I keeping them here? And I had to say to myself, okay, is this fitting in with your 49-year-old self? No. Are you pissed off that you spent money on something that you probably knew you would never wear? Yes. Okay, right. Figure out those money issues, Kelly. Fix them. And I, you know, every week that my maid and her mom come and clean my house, I have given her so much stuff. And it gives me so much joy, number one, to declutter. Number two, to feel good because she's so excited. She and her mom like showed up in a lot of my like Reebok stuff that didn't fit me, but it's brand new and it fits them. And you know, you're giving, and I've given stuff to Goodwill. So, but through this process, back to what Jen said, people, you will stumble on things about yourself that you didn't know. You know, why do you hang on? How many ladies have bought stuff that is six sizes too small for you, but you got a good price on it and it was Donna Karen, so you keep it? And then it's making you feel bad because you look at it and you still don't fit in it. Why would you have that reminder in your closet of how bad you feel about yourself? And you've set an expectation. And so you can start that thought process of, look how bad I'm treating myself. Look how much I'm beating. It can be, as you said, Jen, very freeing. And I encourage everybody to do this in whatever area you start with. And obviously start, I'd recommend, we're going to link up to Jen's book in the show notes, but I forgot to ask you this, Jen, and this is the most important question. Tell people where they can find your book online, because I'm going to read it. I think we all should. And then where can they find you as far as your blog and Instagram and all of that?
So my blog is liveafastlife.com, and that's F-A-S-T. And I'm Live a Fast Life across all the social media channels as well. My book is available on my website, and it's also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And then in my blog post that I actually wrote to go with this interview today, I actually have a link at the bottom of that blog post if you want to enter to win a giveaway. I'm actually giving away a copy of my book as well as one of my Live a Fast Life baseball jerseys. And
so cool.
There's also a coupon code on there, because I actually also teach e-courses on each one of these subjects. And the collection of e-courses together is called Declutter, Detox, De-Stress. And you can buy it as a collection of all three, or if you only have an interest in, you know, one particular area, you can buy them individually as well. So I also did a coupon code just for Fitfluential readers and listeners. So there's a code for 20% off of any course as well.
That is way cool. And I have several notes on things that I want to follow up with you on, because I'm like, she needs to do this. We need to do this. This is really, this is a fantastic topic. It definitely is impactful as far as just, I'll just say a life practice. Sure. I think back, I think maybe the embryo stages for me of when I started to declutter, I was trying to sell my house back in Chicago, and I was away on a business trip, and God bless my mom, because my mom is not known for being clutter-free, but something about my house wasn't selling, and she came over. She had a key to my place to take care of the cats, and she came over while I was gone and took a bunch of my tchotchkes off, you know, the fireplace shelf, that my tables, my kitchen. And I remember coming in, and I was offended, and I told her, I'm like, what are you doing? That's my stuff. I'm good at decorating. It looks good. And then I realized, wow, my countertops look kind of nice without all the crap on it. And if you could see my place now, it's much more modern. It's minimalist. There's no clutter on the counter at all, other than my Nespresso, which is my dear bestie. But it's so freeing. We could go on and on and on. But anyway, Jen, it was sincerely a pleasure having you on the show. I can't wait to hang out with you in Chicago at the Now Foods event. We will take pictures and we will talk. I can't wait to read your book. I'm in love with your blog. So glad we had you on the show. I love your hair too. For everybody listening, again, we will link up to everything about Jen. And we also will link to her blog post that she wrote for fitfluential.com on the show notes, fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions for when we have Jen back on the show, obviously we encourage you to connect with her directly, become obsessed with her on her platforms. But if you have any questions or comments in general on this topic or on the show, podcast@fitfluential.com is the email. Of course, you can also use that email if you would like to recommend anyone that we have on the show to interview. We've started to get a lot of you writing in saying, you should talk to this guy, you should talk to this person. We love hearing from you. We are also launching 100 new hosts on the show this year. And of course, you can nominate someone as well if they would like to have their own show on the Fitfluential Radio Broadcast Network. So again, that email is podcast@fitfluential.com. And we hope this episode was helpful and inspiring for you. And until next time, everybody, have a great week. We will see you on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.